This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. 10 years ago, South Africa became the fifth country in the world to legalize same-sex marriage. And while social justice activists around the world hailed this as a big victory, internally the country was still in a lot of turmoil. Homophobic hate crimes and violence were on the rise, and many individuals reported being subject to curative rape. That is a hate crime in which someone is raped to, quote, cure them of their sexual identity. It was in this heated moment that LGBTI activist and photographer Zanelli Moholi began a project called Faces and Phases. The portrait series aims to make visible the lives of black lesbians and trans individuals in South Africa. 10 of these images are on display at the North Carolina Museum of Art through January, and Zanelli is in town for an artist talk tonight at 7 o'clock, part of the Click Triangle Photography Festival, and I'm happy to say Zanelli Moholi is with us right now on the State of Things. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
It is such a pleasure to have you here. Take us back a bit and tell us more about your background, because you were born during apartheid in South Africa. What shaped your early sensibilities and ideas about?
I'm born in South Africa in the 70s, yeah. And I'm a product of apartheid, I guess. I'm born by a domestic worker mother and a father who was a gardener or a tradesman. He was a Malawian, and my mom is Zulu. So I guess seeing my mom working hard to fend for her children, including me as a single parent when my father died, shaped me in so many ways. Because working hard and drawing into what was happening at that time did something to me. I had a lot of questions. I observed a lot. And in my headspace, there were a lot of things that were lacking that I thought to myself that needed to be fixed. I mean, and one of them, I could say that looking at the photographs that were in the media, you know, left me with so many questions to say that.
Well, that's interesting. Forgive me for interrupting you, but that you were aware of that. I mean, part of the problem of this kind of indoctrination and propaganda is that these faces that you see every day become, you internalize these messages and don't question the dominant narrative. But you somehow at an early age recognized that there was something lacking in the visible landscape.
Yeah. A poor education system was so visual to me. And going to church and having preachers preaching, you know, the otherwise way, you know, word of God, you know, raised some eyebrows to me. And also, but what triggered the most is how black people consume like poor education system that was in place that did not, that wasn't valued or didn't give us any opportunities to become anything in life. Because you talk of a system that was categorized according to all races. You have white people, you have black people, you have colored people, you have Indian people. So each and every race had own, you know, professions to follow. And a lot of black people weren't allowed to go to multiracial school. If at all the child went to that school, it was either you had support from your mother's or your mother's employers, or if at all you go to better schools, it meant that you had a better, like a privilege of some sort, and you were guaranteed higher education, meaning going to university, and afterwards you'll have a better job.
Yeah.
But growing up in my setting or in my space, it meant that the better working opportunities were zilch.
Yeah, well, this is an important lesson that when the state sanctions racial discrimination, you're likely to see disparities in education, in wealth, and in all kinds of social outcomes wherever that state might be. You noticed it in South Africa. Tell us when you first started taking photographs.
I started taking photographs out of frustration. I needed therapy. I needed healing. I was so frustrated. I was on the verge of suicide. And I really needed to heal. I needed something that could make me feel better in so many ways. And then photography just happened to cross my way by mistake, maybe, or by coincidence. Somebody gave me a point-and-shoot camera to take images of myself and to focus on me. You know, like to say, take this camera and take photos of yourself. Maybe it will do something to you.
What did it do for you?
It did better, because for every time I felt so frustrated, I'll take a photo and I could see that something was happening inside me. Because then at that time it was in like the digital age. Mm-hmm. You know, we shot with analog and you had to wait for days, you know. You just left with anticipation, wondering what's going to come out of it. A bad framing that I had to deal with and other images didn't come out at all. Like I used like 36 exposures, but still I didn't get like not even half of the 36 images that were taken. And it did so much good to me, like looking forward to something and seeing what I have photographed. Mm. And I captured a lot of images of myself, which are now so-called like self-portraits, even though I didn't have like proper definition of it. Hence, I've gone back to one of my series, which is called Somnyama Ngonyama, and it's looking mainly at self-portraiture.
You, when you talk about that frustration, was this over your racial identity and racial inequality, or were you at this time also beginning to understand your gender identity?
Becoming a teenager and the frustrations thereafter, and also growing up, realizing yourself, and you think to yourself, this is what I was, or this is what I think I am, and it turned out to be something else. I think it was through that period in my life where I'm becoming a person, and I know that there's a name for it, but there's nothing in the books that really defines this being in my own mother tongue. And also thinking of like there are no books or there are no photo books that speaks to my sexual orientation or sexual self or my identities. So it was really quite fascinating. There were books that were written about in a different language. I could say terminologies that are used to define gender are quite complex, and it makes even more foreign to a person who is becoming than coming out. Mm. So I guess it was during that period.
And you talked about the complexity of coming out as you did at the height of the tensions in apartheid South Africa. Tell us about that, when you came out.
Oh, apartheid South Africa ended, I can't even say completely ended, because we have a lot of racism that is persisting or ongoing right now. The 80s were a major period in most of our people, of my people of my same age or contemporaries at the time. So realizing yourself at the height when people are dealing, or the society is dealing with a major issue, which is a transformation, you know, moving from this apartheid system to the next, meant something else. Because then nobody's looking, really. People are still dealing with the pain and the loss of loved ones from different movements and moments where, you know, racial attacks or whatever that took place then. So it was quite complicated, because then we come from a system in South Africa where we had to deal with apartheid. And then there was a period in our lives where we had to deal with HIV/AIDS pandemic. Then where the period in our lives where we're dealing with hate crimes that is encountered by people of my community, LGBTI community in South Africa. So it's like, these struggles never ends, and you transition, you know, throughout this period.
Well, tell us then about the Faces and Phases project and how that plays into all of this.
They say all the great men in history are written about, and Faces and Phases is a way in which I'm celebrating and commemorating members of my community, mostly Black, lesbian, and transgender people who belong to the community where I come, and people who have made huge difference but who never get an opportunity to be celebrated and be recognized or even be written about in history books. So I took it upon myself to make sure that I celebrate those individuals that I know that they've done something, and also to make sure that we rewrite or change how South African visual history is written or constructed. So I believe that as a South African citizen, I had a responsibility to make sure that I contribute something towards our history. And that became that Faces and Phases that features mainly people of my community who identify as either Black lesbians or who identify as Black transgender human beings.
Those portraits now number in the hundreds. Do you show them, and how are they received in South Africa?
The images, they're more than 1,000, and we had to edit down for publishing. And the book that came out in 2014, and it's called Faces and Phases. And in 2014 was 8 years since I started working on the project. And this year marks 10 years exactly since I worked on the project. Yeah.
The photography project is part of this bigger set of work that you're doing to document hate crimes. And I know that you had personal contact with this in your life, and this was one of the things that may have helped generate the project or certainly propel it. Maybe you can tell us that story.
A lot of people have suffered severe hate crimes, brutal hate crimes. We have lost a lot of our people. And meaning that as members of the community, we continue to document the crime scenes. We documented the incidents as they took on, and also we made sure that we document the funerals, supported the families wherever there was a need, and also documented even some of the court appearances, because we believe that it was a must to do. We did not need to get orders to do that. We had to take on the task. We've lost a lot of people. And some, unfortunately, I never had an opportunity to photograph. And then these faces and phases then become an educational text and also a legal visual document that marks as part of the evidence of something that has happened or something that happened. So it's used now in different settings by different people. And it's just one of those documents that will always, you know, help the likenesses and those who will come after us to have a reference document or to be used for posterity.
And just to make it clear that the Faces and Phases project, while it does document those cases, also has celebrations of love making and bodies together joined in real love. So that is a wide scope and a wide range of portraits of people in very often normal situations.
And the reception has been good at home. Recently, we had the Faces and Phases 10 anniversary celebration and exhibition. And most people who really appreciate their work, I could say it's the participants who are featuring in the series, because they get to see themselves in a positive manner in ways that they've never been projected in history. Or to see other likenesses who are part of the project, and people get to network and engage and to take note that they are not the only ones who are into the community. And sharing, you know, different or common stories make you feel alive and know that you are a member of an extended family.
You recently started a new series that would translate in English to something like Hail the Dark Lioness. Can you tell us about that?
The series is called Somnyama Ngonyama. And I'm looking at myself, because it's very important to script or document biographies and also autobiographies. I'll say it's an autobiographical project in which I confront myself and deal with the many issues that I suffer as a person before tapping into other people's business. And I just realized that as photographers, we never look at ourselves enough. We always say, I'm okay, better behind the camera, of which is sometimes not true. So Somnyama Ngonyama is a way in which I speak to or confront different forms of displacement or exclusion that is faced by the black body or black people in different spaces. And I wanted to start with me. And I just wanted to reference different cases in history or cases that are happening as we speak and use my own body. I didn't want to project that pain to the next person.
But I've seen you quoted saying that self-portraiture is confrontational and an inward examination that could border on violence. That kind of examination, that ruthless examination of self required for a self-portrait.
Yeah. That whole thing, it's more like self-mutilation, because digging deeper into your own space, which is unnerving and unsettling sometimes, make you feel otherwise. So going back to me is never an easy process or a nice thing to do. But I have to confront myself, because I have issues as any other human being who really doesn't go for therapy, but then I find therapy in my photography.
Well, I know you travel with a team of friends and fellow activists, and joining us now is one of your current travel companions, Lerato Dumse. She is a South African journalist and documentarian. Lerato, welcome to the States. It's good to have you here.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
You've worked alongside Zanele for a while now. Tell us about, first of all, tell us about your work in particular. What do you do?
I'm trained as a journalist, so I studied journalism. So I'm more in the writing side. I come on board as a writer and also a copy editor of the different writings that are submitted by members of our community and other Faces and Phases participants.
And so, and you also, you've conducted a number of interviews as well.
Yes, since I started working with Zanele in 2013, as part of the Faces and Phases 2006 to 2014 book, I conducted some of the interviews there. And when we move around, I do some of the behind-the-scenes shots and also the, usually it's called 29 questions, but we rework it as we go along. Just to get the background story, because the portraits are so powerful. Whenever you look at the person, you can't help but just have all these questions. So what we've been doing is just trying to get people's life stories, so that, because we are different, even though we're from the same community, but each person is different and has their own story. So we've been trying to bring people's life stories into that. So
what have you learned from these interviews?
What I've learned is the need for us to rally together, the strength that we draw from each other whenever we are together. And just to see, you know, for me, like when I hear the different stories, you get to realize how fortunate you've been, that sometimes maybe if you think life has been hard for you, you hear someone's story. And also sometimes you see the strength that people have despite the different things that they've been through in life. So those are some of the things that I've come from.
Zanele, I've often heard, you know, photographers, musicians, and others in forms that don't include words, that the work speaks for itself, the photograph speaks for itself. What is the value in adding these interviews and these words?
We should remember that we are writing a history here, so we can't depend on only one medium. Hence, I brought people who are interpreting this series in different ways. To say a photo speaks or has 1,000 words, whatever, I really... maybe 50% believe in that, but at times people can't just interpret without knowing exactly the background of what's going on. I can't just project all the black and white portrait of Faces and Phases without giving some context. That's why it's very important to have sometimes an artist statement, but then also not also indulge too much into this artist statement, as they call it, to bring people's voices, because this photography is about human beings at the end of the day. I'm not shooting landscapes, and each and every portrait is about somebody's life story or is somebody's biography. And it's very, very important to get at least a feel of who these people are and what they made of, what they like, and also what people have gone through in life, to further educate those who are still stuck in some closet out of fear or because of exclusion or prejudice that they're facing in their own spaces. So the words or the text to back up each and every picture means a lot, because there are so many people out there who are so desperate to tell their stories but do not know how to, and they don't even know where, you know, to tell those stories. And the more voices we have, the better, because it means that we're expanding and changing the landscape in which the visual histories or the oral histories are constructed.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being on our program today. South African photographer and activist Zanele Moholi. A collection of her images, Faces and Phases, Portraiture Project, is now on view at the North Carolina Museum of Art. It'll be there through January. Thank you so much for being on our program.
Thank you.
And also with us is a friend and fellow activist, Lerato Dumse. Lerato, thank you so much for being on our program today. We have information about the exhibit at our website, stateofthings.org. Zanele gives an artist talk at the museum tonight at 7 o'clock. That's the North Carolina Museum of Art. It's sold out, but there's overflow seating available, and you can find out all the details at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we'll talk with a Jewish rabbi and a Palestinian about bridging the gap between the two groups in the West Bank. Stay tuned.